I think we all feel an empty place. Everybody loved Jennifer. Not just because she was a special person, but because she was the kind of friend who was always there for you. We'll miss you, Jen. We'll miss your smile. We'll miss the times we would have spent together. We'll keep these memories close to our hearts until we meet again in God's kingdom.
The family has requested a graveside service now. I've rescheduled the burial to tomorrow afternoon. We'll keep the body overnight. Hello? Who's there? I said, who's there? Donnie. What are you doing here this late?
Working.
Working? At this hour? What is this? What the hell were you doing? Get out of here. You freak! Get out of here! And don't come back.
I got the call from Minneapolis PD saying they wanted the FBI to come out and take a look. Anything slightly freakazoid, that's the drill, call Mo Box. As if I'm tight with all the nutcases in town. So I shoot on down here to see what's the what. And I'll be damned if I'm not knocked on my butt by what they show me. 22 years I've never seen anything like it. I get one look at the corpse and I'm on the phone to my pal Andy Schneider down at the Mutual UFO Network. You know Andy.
No, I don't.
Well, he knows you.
Why'd you call MUFON?
I wanted to see if there'd been much UFO activity in the area.
You think this grave was unearthed by aliens, Agent Box?
Well, it has all the telltale signs, don't you think? I mean, according to the literature.
Literature?
You know the way the hair and nails have been cut away? Sort of like they do in cattle mutilations.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Agent Box, but this doesn't look like the work of aliens to me.
Oh, how can you be sure?
I've seen this kind of thing before when I worked at Violent Crimes. Whoever dug this up probably used a backhoe. If you take a cast to the ground in the area, you'll probably find fresh new tracks leading from here to a garage nearby.
You think?
Yeah, he may work here, but it's not likely. Though he's probably worked at a mortuary or a cemetery at one time or another. Probably even been busted, but you won't find any record of that. It tends to be bad for business when those kind of stories get around.
You're saying some human's been doing this.
If you want to call him that. You okay, Scully?
Yeah. I've read about cases of desecrating the dead before. This is the first time I've seen it.
Nothing can prepare you for it. It's almost unimaginable.
Why do they do it?
Well, some people collect salt and pepper shakers. Fetishists collect dead things, fingernails and hair. No one quite knows why. Though I've never really understood salt and pepper shakers myself.
Sometimes you surprise me, Mulder.
Why's that?
How that didn't shock you back there.
I prepared myself for it before we left Washington.
You knew this wasn't UFO related from the start?
I'd suspected as much, yeah.
It took us 3 hours to get here. Our plane doesn't leave until tomorrow night. If you suspected...
Vikings versus Redskins, Scully. 40-yard line in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. You and me.
Have you lived in the Twin Cities area long, Mr. Foster?
I grew up here. I was away for a few years.
And what kind of work were you in before?
Cosmetology, hair and makeup.
Oh, it's interesting.
If you don't mind my saying, that's a lovely color lipstick you're wearing. Is that Indian summer?
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, you're applying for the job as the delivery man?
To put myself through school. I've gone back to school.
Oh. And what are you studying?
Comparative religions.
Oh. Are you a religious person yourself?
Yes. Very.
You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but Mr. Ficicello feels very strongly about religious backgrounds. He prides himself on the honesty of his employees.
Can you put that on the application?
I'll attach a little note.
Thank you.
Sorry you had to miss your game, but we found more bodies dug up.
Did you get your forensics report on the first one yet?
There was somebody down there in the grave. Cut the hair with a pair of pinking shears. It's got to wonder about this guy.
Well, at least he wasn't down there with his dippity-doo and his blow dryer. How many bodies does that make?
3 in the last 2 days.
What else can you tell me about the desecration of the corpses?
The hair was cut from the heads of 2 of the bodies. From the third one, the fingernails were pulled out with what looks like a pair of needle-nose pliers.
All right, I want you to draft an eyes-only memo to everyone in this office and to all law enforcement agencies in the metropolitan area.
Saying what?
That the Twin Cities may have a escalating fetishist on their hands.
A what?
An escalating fetishist. Security should be tightened around city cemeteries, mortuaries, funeral homes, and hospitals should be notified.
A story should be issued to the press warning of a possible stalker in the area.
This isn't New York, Agent Mulder. People still keep their doors unlocked here. This is going to scare them.
All right, well, then you can leave out the more gruesome aspects in your press release.
Why do you want to alarm folks if this guy only preys on dead people?
Because his compulsion is growing. He may resort to homicide to procure his corpses. Once he gets a taste of a warm body, he's probably going to want more.
Maybe I've been isolated up here in the Great White North too long.
What do you mean?
People wondered why it took them so long to catch this kid in Milwaukee. Thought someone should have noticed he was killing all those young boys. Truth is, no one ever believed it could happen.
Well, if you catch this guy before he kills, maybe they can go right on believing that.
We don't have the manpower or expertise to move on this with any speed. It's going to be hard to round up anybody on a Saturday. Could be Monday or Tuesday before we get our ducks in a row.
Up and over the top. Touchdown.
We got some work to do here. I'm going to cancel our flight out. Scully?
I'll be right there. A complete model or psychological profile of the death fetishes does not exist. The compulsion is the result of a complex misplacement of values and a deviation from cultural norms and social mores. He is more likely to be white, male, and of average to above average intelligence. Cases of fetishes with IQs over 150 have been documented. The progression of the pathology can be traced from the fantasy stage to the eventual acting out of fetishistic impulses, including opportunistic homicide. Agent Mulder believes strongly that the suspect in this case is escalating towards this action. Once he begins to murder, it is the killing that draws attention away from a deeper motive, a motive which most people, including law enforcement professionals, dare not imagine. It is somehow easier to believe, as Agent Box does, in aliens and UFOs than in the kind of cold-blooded, inhuman monster who could prey on the living to scavenge from the dead.
Actually, I was thinking of a couple of hours.
Oh. What do you have in mind? Don't you have any heat in here? It's freezing.
The forced air unit is broken. I'd like to run you a bath. Is your hair treated?
What?
Do you need a shampoo for chemically treated hair?
You want me to shampoo my hair?
I'll pay extra if that's something out of the ordinary.
Nobody has ever asked me.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Hello.
Is this Mr. Faster?
Yes.
Hi, this is Marilyn at Ficicello Frozen Foods. Sorry to bother you so late, but I'm calling to say you've been hired, Mr. Faster. They'd like you to start right away.
Hey, what's going on here? The water is ice cold. What kind of sick freak are you?
Wonderful news. Thank you so much.
Don't you come near me. I mean it. Don't you touch me. Stay away from me. Get away from me. Don't you come near me.
Still waiting for someone to ID the body. Judging from the area, I'd say she's probably a working girl.
Watch your step.
Oh. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. Who did this to her?
Was it him? Looks like it. Knife wound the length of the torso, cut all her hair off, took her fingernails. This time he took some fingers, too. Want to see the body?
Yeah.
I need a minute.
Hi, I'm your new delivery man.
Oh, hi. Come in. Did they give you Skip's old route?
Yes, I think so. I've just started with the company.
Skip's been delivering to us for so long, we almost took it for granted he'd always be around. Since before the kids were born. Lisa, this is,
Donnie. Donnie Faster.
He's taking over for Skip.
Oh, hi. I'm gonna go over to Steve's now, okay?
Okay. You have a good time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
We have three daughters.
Oh. Pardon me. May I use your washroom to wash up my hands?
Oh, sure. There's a washroom just off the service porch. I just wanted to tell you, if we're ever not home, we always leave the back door open here.
Oh, thank you. I'll remember that.
Death is a recorded event. For reasons natural or unnatural, when a body ceases to function, the cause of the effect can be clearly reconstructed. A body has a story to tell.
The time is 11:14 a.m., Monday, November 14th. Deceased is a female in her 20s.
If the victim was strangled, an examination of the veins in the eyes will reveal this. If the victim was shot, entry wounds and gunpowder residue can be used to reconstruct the events leading to death and help to establish a possible motive. Hair and fibers, slivers of glass, plastic, even insect casings can serve to recreate the circumstances under which death occurred. It may be an irony only understood by those of us who conduct these examinations, that death, like life itself, is a drama with a beginning, middle, and end. It is my opinion, having conducted this examination, that the victim died a wrongful death for the express purpose of extracting her hair and fingernails. The time of death cannot be accurately determined due to what I believe must have been immersion in a cold environment, most likely water. For the record, it is also my opinion that outside of child homicide, which may be more tragic and heinous, this is one of the most angry and dehumanizing murders imaginable.
I just don't know.
Look at each man carefully.
He's none of those guys. He was ordinary. He didn't look like no freak.
You remember what kind of car he was driving, what color it was?
I think it was white.
Okay, you can go. Just leave a number and address where you can be reached.
Are you going to catch this guy?
We'll catch him.
It might be a good week to take that paid vacation the boss owes you.
Yeah, right.
If this guy looks regular-like and he doesn't have a record, he's going to be near impossible to find.
Until he kills again or until we can determine what's driving him.
I read your profile. Sounds like a guy who can't make it with women, which would explain the hooker.
The hooker was just convenient. He's after trophies. His victim was a young, attractive woman. The corpses he dug up were all young women. So what's fueling his need? What's important about the hair and fingernails to him? It's almost as if it's not enough that they're dead, but he's also got to defile them. I mean, there's a deeper psychosis at work here. It's an unfathomable hatred of women, probably going back to his mother.
I'd say she's pretty fried at him, too.
I think the next thing we have to do is call all the psychiatric facilities in the area and ask them if they have any records of patients with similar pathologies. This kind of a monster isn't made overnight. He's been developing this fetish for years.
The necessity of the story, the myth, in a culture is almost universal. We think of myths as things that entertain or instruct, but their deeper purpose is often to explain or make fanciful desires, wishes, or behavior that society would otherwise deem unacceptable. Because they are conveyed in a wrapping of untruth, the story, these thoughts become harmless fiction. Take, for example, the stories we recite to our children. Snow White, Alice in Wonderland. The subtextual themes when the queen orders off with her head, or the prince awakens Sleeping Beauty with a kiss, or what Freud would describe as death wish imagining.
Excuse me. I'm in your mythology class.
Uh-huh.
My name's Donnie. I sit a couple of rows over. Maybe you've seen me.
I don't know.
I know. You sit up front. I just... I was going to my car, and I saw you. And did he ask us to read chapters 10 and 11? Or 11 and 12?
Oh, I think it was, it was chapters 10 and 11.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. go now.
Don't go.
Let go of the door.
I'll get dressed.
He's got a history of assault. 911 call came in from a security officer, saw it happen. She hurt him pretty bad. Yeah, he's definitely our guy.
Who got him?
A working girl. They're all carrying knives since what happened.
I'm Agent Mulder. Have you been read your rights?
I think I might better try this investigation if I could focus on the evidence.
What are you suggesting?
That I take the body back to Washington. I could run it through the fingerprint lab there. You know those guys, they can pull it
through. Scully, if you're having trouble with this case, I want you to tell me.
I'm not having trouble, Mulder.
I'd understand. I mean, it's not exactly easy to stomach.
I'm fine. Really, I just think we're a long way from catching this guy. If we could get a print, we'd have something to focus on. But right now, we're at a standstill.
I think it's a good idea. I just don't want you to think you have to hide anything from me. I've seen agents with 20 years field experience fall apart on cases like this. I have.
I'm fine. I can handle it.
What's your name?
You're talking to me.
Yeah. Were those FBI agents?
Yeah.
What were they asking you?
They thought I was some freak who's been digging up corpses. Man, I'm in enough trouble already.
What were their names?
Who?
The younger agents.
I don't remember his name. She was Scully. Like that baseball announcer.
Let's go, Mr. Pastor.
Go where?
Ladies dropped the charges against you. They're letting you out as soon as you talk to a psychiatric social worker.
First glance, there's not much to work with. Satin doesn't hold a print real well. There may be a latent somewhere in these blood stains. I suspect the killer wore gloves.
Well, the body was shipped on my flight, so it should be here within the hour.
We'll take a look. How long are you in town for, Agent Scully?
I have a flight back to Minneapolis booked for tonight, but I might cancel.
I've put all other work aside.
Thanks.
think that you find a way to deal with these things. In med school, you develop a clinical detachment to death. In your FBI training, you are confronted with cases, the most violent and terrible cases. You think you can look into the face of pure evil. And then you find yourself paralyzed by it.
Are you aware that you've been talking about yourself in the second person?
No. Was I?
Do you know why?
Probably is another way of trying to detach myself from it.
You're a very strong person. You've probably always felt you can handle any problem by yourself. But you feel vulnerable now. Do you know why that is?
No.
Is it your partner? Is there a problem with trust?
No. I trust him as much as anyone. I trust him with my life.
Can you talk to him about the way you're feeling?
I don't want him to know how much this is bothering me. I don't want him to feel like he has to protect me.
I know you lost your father last year. And I read in your file that you were very ill recently, that your life was threatened. These exposures can leave you extremely vulnerable.
I know these things. I'm conscious of them. I know that the world is full of predators, just as it has always been. And I know that it is my job to protect people from them. And I have counted on that fact to give me faith in my ability to do what I do. I want that faith back. I need it back.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you.
I had a meeting.
I got good news.
What did you find?
Well, as I suspected, there was nothing on the sheets. But we pulled something nice off the body. The guy cut her fingers off, right? But not all of them. On her right hand, he left a thumb. I pulled this off the nail polish. There must have been a struggle before he killed her. Before he put the gloves on.
I gotta call Agent Mulder.
Oh, somebody called for you.
Who?
Said he was an agent working out of Minneapolis. I told him you were out. You had a flight booked back tonight.
Was it Agent Mulder?
I didn't recognize the name.
Did you tell him about the print?
I hadn't found it yet.
Take a look at this.
Mulder. Hi, it's me. We got a print.
Scully got a print.
Fantastic.
I'm going to motor man out to you immediately to see if you can run a match.
Are you staying on there, Scully?
No, I'm coming back tonight.
Look, I know this is a pretty horrific case. But
I'm okay with it, Mulder. Anyway, you could use my help.
Always.
You were Agent Boggs. Didn't call here looking for me earlier, did you?
Did you call Scully? No.
Okay, well, I'll see you when I get there.
All right.
Go! FBI! I'll take the bedroom! Move it, move it, move it!
Team 2, go.
Go! Come back.
Team 1, what is your status?
We're clear back here! Clear!
Bill. The biggest human hair.
The suspect does not appear to be at home. Let's put out an APB on Donald Addy Faster, age 28.
Oh. Take a look at this.
Thank you.
She should be here.
She was on the plane. Landed 3 hours ago.
We found Agent Scully's car.
She was forced off the road. It looks like a white car. Get one of your men and get a sample of this paint and get it on the plane to Washington. If we hurry and we're lucky, we can get a make and model of the car by morning. We're going to find her.
Nothing registered to Donald faster? Right. Right, got it. The paint is called Ivory Bone. It's a two-step enamel used by three makers of late model mid-sized cars. They estimate there may be about 60,000 cars that fit that description in the metropolitan area.
Nothing? No one saw her leave the rental agency. There was no attendant in the area. You know, people videotape police beatings on darkened streets. They managed to spot Elvis in three cities across America every day, but no one saw a pretty woman being forced off the road in her rental car.
He could have taken her anyplace. How are we going to find her?
Yeah. Well, we got to start at the beginning. You know, as nasty as it might sound, we got to try and get inside this guy's head. Where would he go?
Anywhere but his mother's, right?
Well, why do you say that?
Being he's so pissed off at her from what your profile says.
Do we know where his mother lives?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
The mother lives in Boca Raton, Florida. Correction. She used to live there. She died a year ago.
Does she have a car registered to her?
Late model white sedan.
He inherited the car. Well, maybe Boca Raton was a winter house. Does she have a residence here in Minneapolis?
Where are you going?
I know this house, girly girl. There's nowhere to hide.
Wielded to his sisters. The patrolman saw his car out back.
Get him out of here.
You sure you don't want to sit down, Scully? I'll let somebody take a look at you.
I'm fine.
The conquest of fear lies in the moment of its acceptance. In understanding what scares us most is that which is most familiar, most commonplace. That boy next door, Donnie Faster, the unremarkable younger brother of four older sisters, extraordinary only in his ordinariness, could grow up to be the devil in a button-down shirt. It's been said that the fear of the unknown is an irrational response to the excesses of the imagination. But our fear of the everyday, of the lurking stranger, and the sound of footfalls on the stairs, the fear of violent death and the primitive impulse to survive, are as frightening as any X-File, as real as the acceptance that it could happen to you.
This.